Before, but Brother Jay, you come ahead, sir.
Thank you, Pastor. Boy, what an introduction. If you've heard me speak before, you know I truly do not speak long. I purposely don't do that. I knew that we'd get an amen. Anyway, I don't do that. Take your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 10. The book of Luke chapter 10. While you folks were shaking hands, I put my Bible up here in my notes, and Pastor's standing here, he goes, "You're in the book of Luke?" And he says, "Chapter 10? And he said, "Well, at least you're out in chapter 9. Well, the Lord laid this on my heart. And you know what? That's one of the neat things about the Word of God. Everyone will pull different things from it. And God speaks to us in different ways in the same passages. And I'm looking forward to one pastor. And I figured this is chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. I figured it'll be several weeks before Pastor even gets to that point, even though we're in chapter 9 now. So it'll be quite a while, and you will have forgotten all about this message by that point. Okay, Luke chapter 10, we're going to be looking at verses 25 through 37. And I realize that as you're looking at that right now, probably, and some of you have, you know, outlines on your Bible, and you're looking at this parable and you're saying, most of you, probably if not all of you, have heard this particular parable, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And I just want to encourage you not to shut me off yet. And I want to encourage you just to say, you know, I've heard this a million times, and let it roll off your back, because we're going to take a little different look at this tonight. And, you know, I thought about trying something a little shocking just to get your attention at first, because, again, like I say, I know this is a very familiar verse, and I was reminded of, I heard Ronald Reagan say one time, he told the story of a man getting ready to speak to a large group of people, and he hadn't done it very much, and Ronald Reagan told the story that, you know, an instructor trying to help him, he said, "You got to get the people's attention real fast." And he said, "A good way to get their attention," he said, is what you want to do. You go up there and say, "Last night I held another woman in my arms, and that woman wasn't my wife." And he said, "You'll have everyone's attention real fast, just like I just do right now." But you say, and then after you have their attention, say, "And that woman was my mother." Okay? And I thought, boy, I wonder if I could do something. But the poor fellow, when he got up there, he was so nervous. He got up there, and he remembered the line. You know, he said, "Last night I held another woman in my arms." He was so nervous, he said, "And I forget who it was." But I won't do anything like that tonight, okay? I won't do that. So let's take a look. The book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. I'll read out loud. You follow along with me. "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' And he, answering, said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' And he said unto him, 'Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live.' But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' And Jesus answering said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host. And he said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves?' And he said, 'He that showed mercy on him.' Then Jesus said unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. We've heard this parable before. You've probably heard many messages on this parable before. You know, there's three basic principles to this particular parable. And again, I know you probably know them. The first parable being, lack of love is easy to justify, but it's never right. And that second principle is a neighbor. And this is important. A neighbor is anyone. That would be of any color, any race, any creed, any social, economic status, any particular other church. The neighbor is someone that you come in contact with that has a need. And then that third principle is love means acting to meet that need. Those are three basic principles. You've probably heard them over and over and over again. But I want to take a look at this just in a little bit deeper way. The teen class will tell you that one of my big soapboxes is attitude. And I like to talk about attitude. I believe that attitude is very, very important. He's smiling right now. Yeah. We never. I believe attitude is very, very important. And tonight, I want to look a little bit deeper at this particular parable. And I want to take a look at the attitudes that these people have in the parable. For example, the lawyer in this parable looked at the wounded man simply as a subject to discuss. The thieves in this parable looked at the wounded man simply as someone to use and to exploit. The religious man viewed the wounded man as a problem to be avoided. The innkeeper viewed the wounded man as someone that he could service, but get paid for that service. But the Samaritan in this story viewed the wounded man as a human being worth caring for and worth loving. And I want to look at each one of these just real briefly tonight. You think about the lawyer. He was simply a subject to discuss. Now, he's not in the parable. He was asking Jesus. He's talking to Jesus. But it was just simply a subject for him. Folks, talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. Guys, I'll give you a little hint on life here. If you just walk up to some girl someday that you see and you just, you know, you don't really talk to her or anything, you go, wow, I like her. And you just walk up to her and say, I love you. You know, she's there. We've got Snickers already. That girl's just going to laugh at you because you've not done anything to show that person that you love them. Now, you want to do something good. You get to know that person. You maybe write her a letter. You might take her out for dinner. If you're real smart, you'll actually pay for her dinner too, you see, okay? And you build that. Then when you tell her that you love her, you have put some actions behind that. So remember, the lawyer was simply a subject to discuss. Folks, we do a lot of talking. Talk is cheap. Talk doesn't mean anything. Take a look at the thieves a second. They were, in this parable, the thieves used and exploited this certain man. Now, you may say, now Jay, come on. I have not beaten up a person and taken their clothes and left them on the road half dead. However, we use people all the time, and we often exploit people. Now, I have a daughter that can be very manipulative. She knows how to exploit people. And boy, I'll tell you, you know, there have been lots of issues all the time. One example, a few years back, the house that I had lived in, the only way you could heat that house was through wood. And that's all I had was a wood burner. I didn't have a furnace. I didn't have electric heat. Burnt wood. And so wood was very important. And it also kept me in shape. I know you look at me now and say you're not in shape. But at that time, it kept me in shape. And I was out there splitting wood. There was a fellow that was, you know, he wanted to go out with my daughter. And he would come over to the house an awful lot. And he would always be dressed up so nice. And he was dressed up in these real nice cowboy boots. And oh, he just looked real, real sharp. And I happened to be splitting wood. And my daughter came out and said, Dad, would you like would you like Paul to split wood with you? I said, no, he's not going to split wood with me. He's all dressed up. She's like, I can get him to split wood. I said, Athena, no, don't do that. She said, you need help, Dad. And, you know, I wasn't going to argue with the help. But so all she did was she says, hey, Paul, I bet you can't. It takes Dad two times to split that log. I bet you can't do it in two times. Yes, I can. You know, and of course, you know how the boy was. And yes, I can. And of course, he has to get out there and wham, and he starts splitting it, and he did it. You know, he did it. He was much stronger than I am. You know, he's a 16-year-old, strong fella. He could split it. He says, see there, I can do it. She goes, oh, that's just your first time. You can't do that again. Yes, I can. And boom, and he does it the next time. Man, she said, that's pretty good. She said, but Dad's been doing this for an hour, so that's not really fair. And, you know, and I'm standing there watching this, and I'm like, oh, this is terrible. And I'm trying to load this truck up. To make a long story short, you know, he and I had that truck built. And, of course, he surpassed me in splitting the wood. And, of course, I reprimanded her about exploiting that young man. I waited till after the truck was full. But you see, we exploit people often, just like the thieves. One of the little sayings that I like is, we have a tendency to love things and use people. But you know what? It should be the other way around. We should love people and use things. The thieves. Let's look at the religious man. The religious man saw this uncertain man. He saw him as a problem to avoid. No one likes problems. None of us like problems. However, I want you to remember that problems often in our lives are nothing more than a test from God to help build our character. And when you try to avoid a problem, you are avoiding a trial given sometimes from the Lord. And you're avoiding that. God wants to shape us and to mold us into His character. And a lot of times He does that through trials, through problems. And tonight I want to encourage you to face those problems and deal with them. One of the in the Old Testament, we all know the story about David and Goliath. And we read where David actually ran toward Goliath. He didn't mess around. He ran toward him. Romans 8:28, you know the verse. All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. If you avoid your problems, you're not going to get the training that God wants to give to you. Take a look at the innkeeper. The innkeeper, not too bad. He viewed this person, the wounded man, as a person to serve, and that's good. But the thing was, he got paid for it. His heart wasn't in it. It was for the money. And, you know, we're mature folks here tonight. When we get something for doing something for someone else, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but the motivation behind it is what we're looking at there. And your motivation, if you're doing something for someone to get something in return, your heart's not really there. It's very, very wrong. And then finally, you look at the Samaritan, a human being. He viewed him as a human being. He viewed him as someone to care for. He viewed him as someone to love. And as a matter of fact, that Samaritan went the extra mile. He paid and he said, you know, if this guy runs up a higher bill, let me know when I come back and I'll pay more. He went the extra mile. Matthew 5:41, Jesus said, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. You say, now Jay, that sounds real good, but, you know, I can't be paying people's motel bills or what have you. You know, be creative in this thing. When you are reaching out to minister to someone, perhaps you could have a little Bible study with them. Perhaps you could sit down one-on-one and pray with them. Perhaps it's just a word of encouragement from you will minister to that person. Yeah, there might be times when money supporting them will help encourage them, and you can do that little bits at a time. And a lot of times, just simply being a friend, just friendship, will minister to people, Nothing special. Just being there, letting somebody be able to talk to you. Be creative and think of ways that you can go the extra mile. The lawyer, just a subject to discuss. The thieves, someone to use and exploit. The religious man, a problem to avoid. The innkeeper, a customer to service for a fee. The Samaritan, being understanding that this person is a human being, someone worth caring for, and someone worth loving. And finally tonight, I want you to think of this. All of us in here, I dare say all of us, we have all been wounded one way or another. We all carry emotional hurts. We all carry some physical hurts. We all even carry spiritual hurts. Every one of us in here, if we are totally honest with ourselves, we've all experienced pain. We've all been used and exploited. You know, I sit up here a lot of times every Sundays, and I look out over the congregation, and I am moved often when I look at some people. And you know, I so much want to start naming names of different people that I look at, but I wouldn't dare do that. But you know that they are going through trials, and you know that. And I sit up here, and I see them singing songs, and I see them just coming to church. Some folks just mere fact that they came in. Everyone is hurting. Thus, when we go back to the principle that I spoke of a little earlier, that everyone we come in contact with that has a need is our neighbor, is what Jesus said. We have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to minister to people. Everyone has problems. Everyone can be ministered to. You're going to see a video tonight, this Christian film, A Man Called Norman. And it's going to talk about this very, very thing of reaching out and ministering to other people. And my challenge to you for 2008 is individuals to check our attitudes, make sure our attitudes aren't like these people in this parable, and to make sure our attitude is of reaching out to others and ministering to them. Pastor, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Brother Jim.